Welcome to the show. How you doing, Marley? Looking forward to it, huh? It's good to see you too, Dom. It's really cold. Really cold. But hey, let's just get right into the show, shall we? Let's get right into it. Okay, first question. Got my trusty Deadly Hallows book here. So we're gonna be reading out of it. Most people think I'm probably gonna be some like crazy dude or whatever, but yeah. Oh, don't worry, Yuri. I'll be at the men's group soon enough. Don't worry. I'm supposed to have a special guest tonight. I believe Overwatch is supposed to be addressing the men's group. So if that's the case, make sure that he is our guest speaker this evening. I kind of forgot to tell Potsy about that, or Jack. So Yuri, please make sure that Overwatch has an opportunity to speak to the men tonight and that it is recorded. That would be good. So thanks, bro. All right, first question. Who can I, as an INFJ, UDSF man, model so I can increase my game with women? What a crazy, great first question. I love this question. I love this question because of how utterly irrelevant it actually is. Because men should not be caring about having game at all. Game is a woman's thing. Game is what women do to get men to notice them, because men have inferior perception to women. And it's really hard to get a man to notice you, because men don't notice anything, literally. To the point where it's really annoying to women that they are not noticed when they should be. You know, game came from the pickup artist community. It's mostly tokenized by the book The Game by Neil Strauss. But basically what happened is that these ENTPs got together. Mystery's an ENTP, Neil Strauss's an ENTP. They got together and they're like, okay, hey, what are we gonna do? What are we gonna do? How are we going to handle this situation? I mean, we're not able to get girls. You know, we gotta learn what to do. And what game really actually is that you make yourself more feminine. You make yourself kind of basically act like women to get noticed by women, essentially. It's taking strategies from a female playbook. And that is what game is. So the answer to this question is, do not, by any circumstances, care about game. At least, game with women. No. Oh, he got game, man, he got game. Here, you want to know what game is all about? I'll tell you what game is all about. If you're going to game someone, don't game women. Game men. It's called demonstrating higher value. At least, you know, according to Roald Tomasi in the Rational Male book, psychologically speaking, he's like, oh, yeah, you know, to get the girls, you got to demonstrate higher value to women, you know? And it's like, no, 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 that's false. Game is stupid. It is stupid. Don't do it. There's no point, okay? Instead of game, what you should be doing is demonstrating higher value to other men. Become a man that can offer something to your fellow man. That's what you do, okay? So if you're an INFJ, UDSF, increase your skills such that you become valuable and useful to other men in your life, or even men who are above the men who are in your friend group. That's what you do. When that happens, those men will introduce you to women. Or when you're demonstrating higher value to those men in the presence of women, women will notice that and they'll introduce themselves to you. Women are a byproduct of you as a man demonstrating higher value, INFJ or whatever man, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. It absolutely does not matter, okay, what your type is as a man. This is true game. This is how you actually get the girls, okay? You demonstrate higher value to fellow men, especially in the presence of women. And then the women will introduce themselves to you. You don't have to do anything. Make yourself useful. Make yourself valuable to men, okay? And then the byproduct of that is you get all those DHV requirements handled when it comes to women. That's what true game actually is. So the answer to this question is literally, if you're an INFJ UDSF male, go find other INFJ UDSF males who are better than you and then model yourself after them. And then once you get to their level, find the next one, and then the next one, and then the next one. And as long as you're not comparing yourself to other people, and you're comparing yourself to yourself every single day and making yourself better than today than you were yesterday, you'll be successful in the dating market as an INFJ. It's not hard. That's the secret. Welcome to what game really is, even though game is for women. Oh my God, the pickup artist got it so wrong. Ridiculous. Next question. What is the difference between focus, NI, and concentration, SI? Okay. All right. So focus versus concentration. Focus means you're focusing on one thing at a time. It's very linear. Concentration is multilinear, actually. Concentration is like radar or sonar. When I'm in deep concentration, I am increasing my awareness of everything that's happening in my surroundings, giving me 360-degree awareness around my person. That is concentration. That is what it means to concentrate. What it means to focus, introverted intuition, is to focus on one thing at a time. It's so funny when ENTPs or ENFPs ask me, oh, Chase, you know, what should I be focusing on right now? And I'm like, don't do it. Don't ever do it. Not even one time. Do multiple things simultaneously. Extroverted intuition hero exists to multitask. Well, so also does extroverted intuition child. It also exists to multitask. Extroverted intuition optimistic is all about multitasking. Okay, so multitask. Allow yourself permission to multitask. When you start focusing, you start losing energy rapidly, and then you're not going to get anything done. I like to round robin my tasks certain times to be able to do that. Round robining of tasks, not a bad thing. Definitely do it. Definitely go for it. Get it done. So that's really the difference. All right, next question. How to break conditioning as a subconscious developed ESTJ? Man. Okay, well, this is going to be a kind of an oddball of an answer. Basically, anything that looks fringe and cringe to you as the ESTJ, you should go jump in. Swallow it, get in it, bathe in it, be around it. Surround yourself with anything fringe or anything cringe. Fringe and cringe, right? Surround yourself with fringe and cringe. And that is how you as an ESTJ will break your conditioning. Read Mein Kampf, read Ayn Rand, for example, right? Read those fringy and cringy things that people don't like. And it's so funny how many times I see ESTJs claiming that they've seen the light after they read the book Atlas Shrugged by Ayn Rand. It's always fascinating to me. Always fascinating that they do that over and over and over again, right? And it happens. It happens a lot. A lot. All right, next question. How can ISPs, this is for ISTPs and ISFPs, optimize their inner child luck? And it's an ISFP woman who asked this question, okay? How can they optimize their luck, right? Very simply. Show up. I don't know what it is about ISFP women and not showing up. They just don't. Yeah, what's up?
You interviewed me once.
Yeah, I did. How you doing, man?
Yeah, he interviewed me once. He's a good dude.
It's good times. Good to see you again, man.
Yeah, good to see
you, man. Yeah. Yeah, likewise. Later. Yes, the ISFP dude. That's what we're talking about, ISFPs. Well, there you go. You gotta show up. Just show up. No, seriously, just show up. Because when you show up, you're actually activating, like, for example, One of the biggest complaints I hear Crusader men make all the time about introverted wayfarers, ISFPs, INTJ women, is that they never socialize. They never go out and socialize, for example. They never position themselves for greatness on the dating market. I'm just using this dating market example. And, you know, sometimes it's like, oh, maybe I should just get lucky. You know, they're always trying to get lucky, you know, these types. But the thing is that luck has nothing to do with it. Queen archetype is about showing up. It's about... you know, positioning yourself for greatness. Because here's the thing. Introverted intuition child is attached to extroverted sensing parent from a cognitive axis perspective. What's really, really great about that is that by showing up, it puts them into their mental strengths. It puts them into their tactical position. Because it's so funny just to watch how ISFP is always trying to be so strategic with social situations and strategic with people and strategic with all these things. Reminds me of Bayonet. She's always trying to strategize her way through everything before XYZ thing happens and using her extroverted intuition trickster to strategize, you know, the social interaction with this person or the social interaction with that person, blah, blah, blah. You know, always doing that. And I'm like, okay, sure, here's some advice about that, but... honestly, all she has to do is just show up. All the ISP has to do is just show up, because just by showing up, even without even having a plan, okay, extroverted sensing parent will activate, which makes them a fantastic tactician. Oh, wait a minute, ISPs are the absolute best at tactics out of all of the 16 types. They're most responsible, and this also helps them develop their extroverted sensing parent very well, forcing themselves in social situations, right? Or any situation where they make a choice to go into a situation that might be interesting to their NI child, but knowing that they have the tactical capability to potentially get themselves out of it, right? That's where that comes from. So it ends up looking like they're lucky, when in reality the situation is they're just really good tacticians and can tactically get out of situations or tactically get into situations, because they might actually discover something amazing when they're in that situation. But they won't know unless they show up, unless they make a decision with their NI child. That's literally what it comes down to. They don't know unless they choose. It's all about choice at the end of the day, NI child choice. But you can't use your parent until you've made a choice. And when you made a choice, it's like, oh no, it's like critic, I committed to something. No, it's extroverted sensing parent. I chose, so now I have to perform. So really, ISPs who are so concerned about getting lucky, what they're really saying is, especially ISP women, what they're really saying is, I'm too lazy to perform. That's what they're really saying. I'm too idle to perform. You know, it says in the Proverbs chapter 31, describing the ideal woman, she does not eat the bread of idleness. What is the vice of the ISFP? Oh, wait, that's right, idleness. Do you think idleness is showing up or the opposite of showing up? Ah, that's right. It's the opposite, right? The opposite. The absolute opposite. Think about that, folks. All right. Question. How can I prevent bad situations from corrupting my mind totems? Well, okay. That's a fantastic question. So, bad situation.
But where's moon time?
Corrupting your mind totems. Well, here's the thing. I don't think you can. I don't think you as an SE user can stop that. I think it just happens. So what you really end up having to do is actually create new totems, create new shared experiences, create new memories with other people. And if you have totems that eventually became corrupted and are reminding you of bad times, you have to get rid of those totems, because they'll mess with you. And then it could actually cause you to fail or make mistakes as an extroverted sensor. Get rid of the totems, make new ones. We actually teach this a little bit in the women's group. On the women's side of our nonprofit, we teach them detachment protocol. And part of detachment protocol is that they have to get rid of every totem from every man that they were ever with, so that it doesn't remind them of men that they've been with in the past. They have to detach. And support for NI to detach. NI can only detach after the totems are completely gone, wiped. Too bad SI user women have it so much harder. So much harder. Because they can't really do that. Can't really do that. It's much harder for them. Because they always remember. They always remember. So it's kind of interesting to the point where you can look at extroverted sensing women who, before they get into a committed relationship, they like monkey branching between a lot of men. But it's the introverted sensing women who concentrate a lot on one man at the very beginning, but then they end up cheating on that one man with multiple women or with multiple men afterwards. Yeah, that sucks. Still hypergamy though, but that's how it can end up happening. One second, I gotta take the label off. So I can actually keep smoking this without causing myself a problem. Because dang, it is cold. Next question. Which types of octagrams are most likely to be OCD? That's a great question. The types that are most likely to be OCD, subjugating, unconscious developed ENTJs and ISFPs. Absolutely. Because they can be very controlling. Reason why they're very controlling is because if they don't have, because they were really controlled a lot in their childhood. So they end up thinking that they should be controlling of others in their adulthood, especially to protect their introvert intuition functions, their NI parent or their NI child. Controlling others allows them to guarantee that they still have freedom of choice after the fact. And that's why that's important. Much, very, very, very important. So keep that in mind. Very, very important. But yes, it's subjugation. There's also a couple other types that can be OCD. I've noticed introverted sensing masculine primary men, which is INTPs and ENTPs with, and they're both SDSF. Those can also come off like they're OCD. I don't know if they actually have OCD, but they can come off like they have OCD. And that's another thing. So that's the answer to that question. Next question. How can I, as a female INFJ, bring my father to realize his actions, display desire for incest? What a question. Wow, that's a dramatic question, if I've ever seen one. Holy smokes. Our first question about incest. Fantastic, I guess. What is it with white people and incest? I don't know. It seems to be their problem, you know? It really does. That and meth. But basically, you have to learn female communication. So what I would recommend you do is read the books by Zach Rohde, Irresistibly Feminine, Show Him Your Heart, A Worthy Woman, and inspire his devotion, and really improve your relationship with your father and utilize feminine communication so that you can explain to him that he's putting you in very uncomfortable situations. And if he doesn't listen to you, then go to like a brother or another masculine figure within your family and express to that masculine figure instead, if things aren't going to change. So that's a really, really big deal. So yeah. And then next question is, if an ENFP wronged you without reason via wrath and discrimination, how do you tell him? This was also asked by an INFJ woman. It's really the same answer. Feminine communication, read the Zach Rohde books, Irresistibly Feminine, Worthy Woman, Show Him Your Heart, and inspire his devotion, and get that question in. Or get that feminine communication in, okay? Feminine communication, that's what you do. And again, if he does not, if he tramples all over your heart when you're exposing and expressing yourself to him, go to other men that are in his life and express to them about his behavior. Okay, that's the answer. All right, question 9. How do you help a 37-year-old ESTP who is stuck in life? Well, give him options, give him a ton of options, or help him find options, or create options for yourself, basically. That's what you got to do. It's all about option management, right? That's why I don't like holding so much. Let me fix this. Thank you for your patience. It's really about cultivating options, but really, if you're asking from a perspective of like an actual ESTP, like if it's an ESTP who's asking this particular question, what do? Really, it is you have to seek challenge. Stop worrying about the times that you had in the past. Stop worrying about that. Just let go of that entirely. If you're not challenging yourself as an ESTP, especially an ESTP male, basically, you're just admitting to everyone else that you're a hypocrite because you're a pussy at that point. You're literally a pussy, and yet you're the one who has a problem with being around pussy people. And it's because you're afraid of absorbing their pussiness and then being a pussy yourself. That's basically what it is. But if you're having to ask this question, you're basically admitting that you're being a pussy. Stop being a pussy. Challenge yourself over and over and over until you find something that you actually want, all right? So, try new things. Utilize your introverted sensing nemesis or use your extroverted sensing hero and go see what other people doing, other men are doing, other people's success, and mirror that until you find exactly what you're looking for. You know, that's the answer to that question, all right? Next question is, which types of octagrams are the least and most tolerant of obese people? Yes. That is sensing optimistic functions, okay? Sensing heroes, so SI hero, SE hero, SI child, SE child. Those are absolutely the most tolerant of obese people. Extroverted sensing trickster is very, very okay in general with obese people. In general, I'm generalizing. However, extroverted sensing demon is not, okay? This is why I have a body dysmorphia problem. Because if I don't like how I look in the mirror, then the people that I like the most wouldn't like me, for example, right? That's why I used to be extremely obese and I've turned it around. Right now I'm making huge strides and huge dents into my fat loss. As an adrenal type ENTP, according to Dr. Berg, etc. And that's why I work hard to that end, consistently, over and over and over. I'm always working hard on it, always working hard. But yeah, that's literally the answer to that question. So that would be ENTJ, ENFJ, INTP, INFP, ESFP, ESTP, and ISFJ and ISTJ. Those people, which is 50% of the types, are the most likely to be tolerant of obese people, all right? Next question, how to stop seeking validation from women as an ISTP, okay? Very easy, seek validation from men. We talked about the very first question of this Q&A session is that you should be, game is stupid, having game is stupid. Stop trying to game women. It's women's job to game men. That's what they do all the time, trying to get men to notice them. Well, when you're trying to get validation from a woman, it doesn't mean that much compared to getting validation from men. Because if you can get validation from men, you can get validation from anyone. Women or children, it doesn't matter. It's all about getting validation from men. You have to learn how to demonstrate higher value and make yourself useful to other men in your life as a Templar type. Of course, any type should be doing that, but especially Templar men. So keep that in mind. All right. The next question, which was asked by a man by the name of Tom, I emailed you and said you need to write a whole new question because he gave me a huge book in his question and it didn't even contain a question in it. So please resubmit your question. Thank you. Next question. How can an INTJ woman get out of midlife crisis? I love this. Now, this is actually in season 19. Season 19 was added to the Journeyman membership, okay? To get Journeyman membership, csjoseph.life/members. And if you're able to get a question on the stream, that means you have a Journeyman membership. So you should go watch the INTJ lecture in season 19. Don't forget, guys, season 19 was recently added, as well as season 14, part one, which is the Golden Pair Lectures, was recently added to Journeyman. So if you have Journeyman, all of the private lectures, also known as premium lectures, are available to members right now. Be advised, the memberships are fundamentally changing. In fact, the price is going to be going up. So if you don't want to be faced with the price hike that's coming around the corner, plus we're going to be adding some things to the membership with the price increase. Like, for example, somebody is going to be chosen from the membership who has not had their type verified, for example, and then we're going to be doing a verification session, which is recorded, of me typing them to help teach other people in the community how to type, and then it will be released in the members area that people can watch. So, you know, that's pretty cool. You know, that's going to be in the new membership. An example, some of the new stuff that we're going to have in the new membership coming up around the corner. But if you want to get grandfathered in at the $29 a month, get subscribed now. Or even better, you can get 3 months of Journeyman and Acolyte plus type verification and Octogram for $300 right now at csjoseph.life/essentials. The Essentials deal will be going away forever after we switch to the new membership system, by the way. It's going away entirely. So you might want to like check that out. And it could be going away as soon as like a week or two from now. So you might want to get in. I think it's about 2 weeks. So csjoseph.life/essentials if you want the huge deal to like basically get it all. It does not include the courses, but it includes everything else, essentially. Do it now and get grandfathered in at that price, all right? So just letting you guys know that that's a thing. Otherwise, season 19 INTJ episode is literally the answer to this INTJ woman's question, and she should go watch it there. I have to make that reference. But basically, another way to answer this question would be in Ego Hacking Your Fear, watch the INTJ section in Ego Hacking Your Fear because that's part two to season 19. It's basically season 19 part two, which explains how to get out of midlife crisis and help you develop your fear and get over your inferior function, essentially. Which is good. All right. Next question. What do you recommend for a low SE user woman when interested in someone but cannot get him to initiate with me? This includes online. What a great question. We've been discussing that tonight. Well, here's the thing. Are you noticeable? That's the problem with INTJ women, especially if they're UDSF, right? If they're UDSF, or basically UD, UD, unconscious developed INTJ women, aren't really that noticeable. They're really not that noticeable. And that is a huge problem for INTJ women. Huge problem. Not being noticed, okay? And it happens over and over and over. They're not noticed, okay? So because of that, make yourself noticeable. How do you do that? Well, do your hair. Okay, do your makeup, right? Take care of yourself, bathe yourself, wear deodorant, keep your body fat percentage, no higher than 22%, no higher than 22%. I would target 20%, honestly, as a woman. 20% in general is a decent standard for most men. Also, have fashion sense, okay? The exercise leggings through Columbia brand are amazing on women. I highly recommend that. That's like my second choice. My first choice is the Duo Pros from Freddie Wear, you know, for women. Makes their butts look fantastic. They're great. They're absolutely great. And then obviously the associated shorts that go along with that. But like, yeah, seriously, like have a figure, you know, hip to waist ratio. It's not hard, you know. Study kibby body types, right? So gamines and classics are usually X-rated sensing, pessimistic, if not X-rated sensing, inferiors. So focus on those. Soft classic is great. Dramatic classic is pretty great. Look at the gamines as well. But, you really have to accentuate your body, how you act. And don't be that INTJ woman who's constantly saying, oh, that's interesting. You know, it's fine when NI child, like an ISFP says that. It's perfectly fine. It's fine when an ISFP says that because, like, that's NI child talking. But for NI hero to say, oh, that's interesting. Oh, that's interesting. Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, INTJ women can kind of get away with that sometimes. INTJ man absolutely can't get away with that because it just tells everyone that INTJ man is lacking in substance entirely. Okay? Really lacking in substance. It means like his masculinity is basically failing as an INTJ man. If he's constantly saying, oh, that's interesting. Oh, that's interesting. Oh, that's interesting. You know, it's so annoying. It's so annoying. A woman can kind of get away with it. However, a woman should still work on that. And how she does this? Through reading. Reading and actually taking the time and reading non-fictional topics, which INTJs don't have the patience to do. So get an audiobook and listen to it on 1.5 or 2x speed, okay? Take notes. So you have some topics that you could bring up, but you need to make yourself interesting, INTJ girls. You need to make yourselves interesting. And for some reason, UDSF and UDUF, INTJ women suck at making themselves interesting, even though they're heavily invested in their extroverted intuition functions, which would mean they're attempting to make themselves more desirable, but they end up putting off the opposite effect because it's actually their extroverted sensing that makes them technically more desirable through their performance. They should be investing in that, okay? So do that. What are you doing, you know? And if you're a UDSF INTJ woman, well, be knowledgeable with your extroverted thinking parent function, feminine primary function. You should be making yourself that way, okay? Now, online, it's pretty easy. After you have actually like invested in queen archetype, which is what you have to do, a woman cannot attract a man unless she is investing actively every single day of her life, and it never stops for, you know, queen archetype, okay? She can pause queen archetype in certain situations, you know, like giving birth, right? But for the most part, she needs to be a queen for her man. That's just how it works, okay? So queen archetype. Now, if you got your queen archetype handled, you could take a nice profile photo of your actual real face and put it on your your online profiles, like your Discord account, for example, to get noticed, you know? I mean, that's basically what Marley did in the Ego Hackers Discord server, right? So, and eventually, interact with other people. Actually take the time to socialize. If you're not socializing, if you're not getting out of the house, or if you're not socializing with people in the Ego Hackers Discord server, for example, you're not going to be noticed by men at all. You're not going to be noticed at all. It's really annoying, okay? If you have extroverted thinking feminine primary, which means your UD, which means your SDSF as a... As an ISFP, you know, they care about female joy, female pleasure, so does UDSF. You know, the UDSF INTJ women waiting to be swept up off their feet. Well, the thing is, if you're not going out and socializing and spending all this time on the internet reading stuff, well, no man's going to notice you. You're kind of shooting yourself in the foot. So stop doing that, ladies. It's not hard. It's really not hard. Okay? So low SE user woman, get noticed. It's so much easier. You know, low SE user woman, you could technically say is SE child, but it's not. I actually think low SE user women would actually categorize as SE pessimistic women. So that'd be SE parent, SE inferiors, because the optimistics are kind of flamboyant with extroverted sensing. So SE child and SE hero kind of had an advantage there. And they can really get noticed by men a lot easier than the SE pessimistics. So SE pessimistics actually have to work a little bit harder to get noticed, okay? It all comes down to queen archetype. So you can do that. So ladies, if you're in this situation, here's what you do. Here's what you do. You go to this YouTube channel, you go to the playlists, and you watch in the following order, seasons 4, 6, 13, and 31, every single episode, and do it in that exact order. When you hit season 13, you'll start getting into queen archetype, and you'll start understanding what it's all about. And then go through that entire process, every single one of those episodes, in all of those playlists, and then you will be educated on how to position yourself for greatness and to be more noticeable by men, right? And obviously, feminine communication. Read Zach Rohde's book, Irresistibly Feminine, Worthy Woman, as well as Show Him Your Heart and Inspire His Devotion. Very key, very important. I had the honor of, someone says, I'm a 23-year-old woman, and how do you, that's a relevant question. Sometimes I like seeing questions in the stream that are relevant, so let's see if I can answer that as well. I'm a 23-year-old woman, how do I find a man who's ready to marry? Okay, well, you have to employ the use of the female litmus test. This has gone over in the Ego Hacking Love course, which is coming out very soon. Very soon. It might actually come out in like 2 weeks, okay? Very soon. Ego Hacking Love, the female litmus test. But if you want to learn the female litmus test now, you need to join our women's group. To do that, go to discord.gg/egohackers, okay? Then join the sexuality special interest group. And then speak with the leaders of the sexuality special interest group on how you get into our women's group, also known as the cartel of the mature feminine, so that you can join that and then get educated on the female litmus test so you can find a man who's willing to marry. Just follow that whole process. Should absolutely do it. And as part of the requirements for you to actually be in our women's group, all of these resources that I've just mentioned as part of the answer to this question actually is part of the requirements. So you're not wasting any time, and it's free. We're not charging for this, okay? You learn a female litmus test, all right? So check that out. All right, next question. Depending on Octagram, does it make people use interaction styles more or differently? Yes. Yes, it absolutely does. Okay, so I'm UDSF as an ENTP, right? Okay, I have TI masculine primary. Now, Fib, God bless him. He's always joking around about how I'm very declarative, right? I'm always declarative with my speech to people, especially members on the team. And he says, sometimes the members of the team need me to not be more, need me to be less declarative. Declarative, I think, might be synonymous with direct, but I utilize the direct interaction style more often because I'm a UDSF ENTP variant. This is why Personality Database, for example, believes I'm an ESTJ because everyone assumes I'm being direct. But it's because I have introverted thinking masculine primary, right? It is my main masculine function. I'm direct because I'm consistently solving problems and just giving out solutions, right? And directing. Men online are scary to women. What are you talking about? Of course they are. Women are scared all the time. They have anxiety all the time. All women have anxiety issues. All women have an anxiety, okay? That's why 50% of their sexual strategy, known as hypergamy, is based on female stress relief or relief of their anxieties. You know, protection, provisioning, and parental investment. That relieves female anxiety. That's 50% of their sexual strategy. Therefore, all women have an anxiety problem, psychologically speaking. So shut up. Like, seriously, come on. Come on. That's just reality. Okay, that's reality. Truth bombs tonight, folks. All right, next question. How do you tell the difference between a UD ISFJ and an SD ISFJ? Very easily. The subconscious developed ISFJ is very fanatical. They're like fangirling or fanboying over XYZ person, place, or thing, over some kind of noun. They're like, they're major, major fans. Whereas the unconscious developed ones are actually, they're very critical of other people. Their school of hard knocks. They kind of have an edge to them, and they like encouraging other people to learn harsh lessons through the school of hard knocks, essentially. So that's what they do, because it's like, hey, I suffered this way in the past, and this is the lesson I learned from this, so I'm going to make you suffer the same way so that you learn the same lesson I learned. Okay, that's known as malevolence. Okay, and they're very outwardly malevolent. That is unconscious developed ISFJ. Versus the subconscious developed ISFJ is the opposite. And what that is that they're very fanatical, and they really like it when people are malevolent with them. They like it when people give them school of hard knocks lessons so that they can learn and grow themselves. Why? Because it helps them be better adults. Why? Because, as Fib taught me, as Fib pointed out, subconscious developed people make great children. But they kind of suck at adulthood, and they need help through adulthood. Unconscious developed people are terrible children and have to learn things like discipline when they're older, but they make great adults, okay? That's the difference. Oh no, my cigar is running out. All right, next question. Why would an INTJ be attracted to other INTJs? Oh my God, it finally happened. I've been waiting for this question to be asked for like years. Okay, INTJs, out of all of the 16 types, are terrible at psychoanalyzing other people. Very terrible, very terrible. They're so bad at typing. Isn't it any wonder that they're like some of my primary amounts of customers, that my content appeals to my golden pair? It's because I'm very good at typing people. It's because they suck at typing people. So it's not that INTJs are attracted to other INTJs. It's just that either they themselves are mistyped and they're attracted to an INTJ because they're probably an ENTP, you know, or the other person is probably an ENTP or an ESFJ. Who knows? They're gold or natural pair, okay? But they're mistyping. That's the problem. That's the actual problem with this question. They're mistyping. It's not that INTJs are attracted to other INTJs. They're not. It's just that they mistype. But for some reason, INTJs get hella arrogant. They get hella arrogant. And when they get hella arrogant, they think that they're actually good at typing when the reality situation is they're not. They're terrible. They're terrible. I actually discuss how an INTJ can actually get good at typing in the How to Type Yourself Masterclass, which is something that's after the How to Type Yourself course. If you want to get the How to Type Yourself course, go to howtotypeyourself.com, get the course, and then you have an opportunity to buy the masterclass. Buy the masterclass as well. The masterclass was incredible. I think this masterclass was the best masterclass we ever produced, other than the Ego Hacking Your Fear masterclass, which was insanely good. But I still think the How to Type Yourself masterclass was probably better. Special thanks to the volunteers who allowed me to psychoanalyze them during the How to Type Yourself course and masterclass to help teach people how to do it better, especially the INTJs who naturally suck at it. Just letting you guys know. All right, cool. Next question. Next question is, all right, what is the purpose in life for an ISFJ, SDSF, and how can she, as a woman, improve? All right. SCSF, ISFJ woman, means extroverted intuition, feminine primary function, okay? She is investing everything into being desirable because she is hyper afraid of being dejected and never actually a choice for anyone. This is the woman who's afraid of not being invited to things. This is the woman who's afraid of being discluded. This is the woman who really wants to be as desirable as possible. This is why SDSF, ISFJ women are also like the biggest party girls. And they have actually a high risk of monkey branching, but more so cheating after they're in a committed relationship or a man is committed to her. Because they live and die and breathe being desired by other men, essentially. So I have known SDSF, ISFJ women who are the party girls. And especially when you're talking to, an ISFJ woman who's in her late 30s, early 40s, and she'll tell you every time, it's the same story about how much they were always into drugs and going to all these parties, all these raves, getting drunk all the time, blackout drunk, having absolutely no control, getting so blackout drunk that they don't even know if someone had sex with them, like crazy stuff. Crazy stuff. They're very fanatical people. They're always fangirling. And they think that through fangirling, it makes them more desirable. And they also are very, very kind. So this is the ISFJ woman. This is the woman who's the kind fangirl. The kind fangirl, right? Fangirling ISFJ, fangirling all the time. Okay? And that can be a problem. Serious problem. The kind fangirl. What is their purpose? Well, their purpose is ultimately to utilize their expert intuition properly, right? And realize that not all desire is the same because extroverted thinking trickster is in there and they all start imagining to themselves that any desire is good desire. When the reality situation is, they have to use their FI critic to weigh out that desire, where they start to realize that not all desire, especially from men, is worth it or the same. That's a problem. What's up, Candace? Love you, Candace. Tell your husband I said hello. Love him too. Glad that he never gave up. I respect him because of his propensity to not give up and keep trying no matter what. He's a good man. Very good man. Why are we telling me to shut up? I don't know. I can't shut up. I'm an ENTP. I'm just gonna keep going. What are you talking about? That's never gonna happen. Come on. So basically, her purpose in life is actually to figure out specifically what actually is truly desirable, what actually makes her desirable, right? And that would obviously be her femininity. She needs to learn her femininity. Again, read the four Zach Rohde books, like we said earlier, Irresistibly Feminine, Worthy Woman, Show Him Your Heart, Inspires Devotion, get into the women's group, start learning. Start learning. So, okay. All right, so next question is, what is it about extroverted intuition users that's so desirable? I'm an NI user, but I can't explain exactly why I want any users. What makes them so desirable? I'll tell you that what makes them so desirable. Because any users are chill. Any users know how to use their introverted sensing to relax and get comfy. They're chill. Especially if they're like men, right? With their introverted sensing masculine function, because it's a masculine function, introverted sensing, because introverted functions are masculine. If they're being masculine, what does that tell you? Well, it means he's disciplined. It means he's not going to rage and get wrathful or upset, right? A man who gets ragey and wrathful and upset, he's lost his discipline. He's lost his cool, right? So any user men or any users in general are cool and they're soft and they're comfy, They like wearing comfies. They like being soft. And they like soft things. And it helps the extroverted sensors relax. And that is a desirable thing to NI users who also are extroverted sensors at the same time. That's why. That's why. Okay, that's the answer to that question. Cool. Next question. All right. How can an INTJ man create and maintain, practice healthy self-beliefs, belief, faith, and confidence? Very simple. Keep a journal. Your life, just remember, like, here's a very important thing, folks. Gratitude. Gratitude is important. Here is the key to practicing gratitude in your life. And INTJs with their introverted feeling child need to learn gratitude, man or woman, but especially women need to learn this, because they need to be grateful in order to reciprocate gratitude to their man, okay, in a relationship, in order to keep the relationship, in order to keep a man's devotion. So, what you do is remember this thing. Remember that no matter where else you are in your life, it doesn't matter how bad it is in your life is still someone else's dream. Someone could be like in a hospital bed with cancer, okay? It could always be worse. That's how you should be grateful. Be grateful that it isn't worse, okay? It can always be worse. If you as an INTJ are keeping a journal, tracking your successes, tracking your failures, but also tracking other people's failures and other people's successes, you'll start to realize just how far you've come in your life after so much time. And as a result of that, it will help you learn how to be more grateful. And that gratitude will actually fuel your extroverted sensing inferior's confidence, because you'll start to realize, oh shit, I've actually been through a lot. I'm actually stronger than I realize. And that is confidence. That is a confidence building technique that any INTJ can utilize. Same with INFJs as well. It's a confidence building technique. Okay, super important. All right. Yeah. Next question. How can an SDSF INTP man not be SDUF in social situations? Well, sometimes you should be unconscious focused in certain social situations, right? SDSF means as a man that your masculine primary function is introverted sensing. But then if you are SDUF, that means your NI critic is your masculine primary function, where it's all about choice. So what it comes down to, you have to realize that you have to be wise in making the right choices in social situations, which means you need to understand power dynamics in social situations. So you need to read the following books. How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. You need to read The 48 Laws of Power, The 33 Strategies of War. You need to basically educate yourself on philosophy. You need to read every book written by Robert Greene, Greene with an E at the end. It is absolutely critical that you do this. Very critical, okay? So that's how you do that. You have to get yourself educated to be able to handle whatever social situations, especially at work or whatever, or not at work, or any social situation. Because besides, the more stuff you read anyway, it makes your opinion that much more valuable. But then you can have the wisdom with your NI critic of what to choose, which opinion of yours to choose to offer to other people that you're socializing with, naturally. It's all about increasing your knowledge base, all right? That's how you do it for INFPs. Next question. What is the primary and secondary learning styles for INFPs? I'm not really well versed in learning styles, to be honest. But I do know that in order for an INFP to learn, they really have to have a do-it-yourself mindset, but it's guided do-it-yourself. But having visuals like diagrams and whatnot to help, if there isn't a person around to help them learn, they can rely on visuals like diagrams and whatnot and instructions to follow to guarantee the outcome. Because what an INFP needs in a learning situation so that they don't have an anxiety problem and they're not anxious when they're learning a new task or learning a new way of doing something with their learning style, they need to have the ability to know that what it is they're learning, that they're going to have a guaranteed outcome for success, which means you guys have to be committed to reading the instructions. And the instructions, well, not all instructions of quality, but instructions that are high quality to INFPs are the ones with diagrams, with visuals, because NFPs are visual learners. So they need visual guides, basically. If they don't have somebody there to guide them, like an ENFJ or an ISTP, to guide them through the learning process, essentially, okay? So high quality instructions when they don't have someone to guide them, or someone who is able to guide them, but they have to actually do it themselves. They cannot look at what someone else is doing, where like an ISTP is like, oh, I'm gonna do it for you. You can never, ever, ever do this to INFPs. Never do something for an INFP. You make the INFP actually do it. That way it gets lodged or logged in their introverted sensing child so they can repeat the task later. But you have to force them to actually do it themselves, okay? Seriously. And of course, if they're by themselves with instructions, they have to do it themselves. Hopefully it's got some visuals and diagrams. If it doesn't have visuals and diagrams, well, then they're not going to get a guaranteed outcome, potentially. There's a less likelihood that they're going to get a good outcome out of what they're learning, right? So they may have to try and try again and try again and try again until they get it right. That way, they have enough experience in their introverted sensing to repeat the task list later. That way, they have the ability to do it right the first time. ENFJs are obsessed with doing things right the first time. And that's what the INFP is ultimately missing, because the ENFJ shadow is demanding of them that they do it right the first time. Well, that's why they need to be seeking guidance from other people, because they're so affiliative or have high quality instructions. If they don't have high quality instructions, well, with visuals like diagrams and whatnot to explain things properly in an informative manner for them, if they don't have informative instructions, well, then they have to risk trying and trying and trying until they get it right. And they have to be willing to go on the journey of doing so. The problem is their triple outcome. INFPs are hella stressed going on a journey where they don't know what the result is going to be. But they have to be willing to submit in those moments and rely on their self-discipline to discipline themselves away, that discipline themselves such that they're willing to actually walk the journey until they get the outcome, if they're forced in a situation where they have to do something by themselves with very little information or instruction available to them, or low quality instruction available to them to actually do it. Okay, that is the answer to that question. Next question. How can a UDUF INTJ woman deal with constant criticism in her life? Honestly, other than feminine communication and use feminine communication to express to the people criticizing her, she needs to actually humble herself and collect their criticism. She needs to actually write down their criticism and actually ponder to herself whether or not that criticism is actually valid, whether or not that criticism is actually correct. If it is correct, she needs to then practice whatever skill it is that she's failing at until she gets it correct, right? Or if they're just being criticizing for the sake of criticizing, she needs to get away from those people. She's already had enough criticism in her life because she's unconsciously developed. She's already had enough desecration in her life, humiliation. She's already had enough criticism in her life. So she should get away from those people and get out of that environment. Because if it's unfair, if it's fair criticism, she needs to learn from it and grow. But if it's unfair criticism, she needs to leave. Now, she may not know how to judge whether or not it is fair criticism, which means she needs to go to masculine sources, men in her life that she is close to, and ask them what they think about the criticism and get their judgment as to whether or not the criticism is actually fair. If it is fair, she needs to grow, change, and practice and improve. If it is unfair, she needs to get the hell away from those people and cut them out of her life. That's how I would recommend this. That would be my answer. Next question. What friends does a UDUF INTP male need to help them out of UDUF? Okay. Great question. This is the final question. All right. Great question. I'm going to use a Dragon Ball Z example to answer this question. There is a UDUF INTP character in Dragon Ball Z. Do you guys know who it is? Oh, that's right. It's Vegeta. Vegeta is a UDUF INTP. But throughout his character arc, by the time it hits Dragon Ball Super, which is the next series after Dragon Ball Z, he is UDSF. He has absolutely transformed. How and why is it possible? Because his polar opposite, Goku, who is an ESFJ, was always there, consistently challenging him over time and doing better than him. So the answer is an INTP UDUF male who's trying to get himself out of UDUF and into UDSF, he needs to surround himself with ESFJ men. Because it is written, as iron sharpens iron, so does one man to another. As iron sharpens iron, so does one man to another. But no man is going to sharpen a UDUF INTP better than an ESFJ man, regardless of octogram. And then because of that, he needs the INTP UDUF needs to aspire to be more like the ESFJ man and learn from the ESFJ man, in as much as Vegeta learned from Goku. And was always consistently in Goku's shadow, and in the series, has been in Goku's shadow almost the entire time. It wasn't until Vegeta starts having the mentor, in terms of Beerus, for example, while Goku's mentor is Whis, right? Whereas Goku becomes more angelic, like Whis, and learning angelic abilities, and Vegeta's learning God of Destruction abilities from Beerus, that he's even able to actually, you know, continue on his path of hope from a UDSF perspective, okay? That's how that works. So literally, INTPs who are UDUF men out there, find your Goku. Find your Goku. That's all you got to do. Find your Goku and learn from Goku. Because the challenge provided by Goku, as you continue to challenge yourself, it will literally open up the path in front of you to become UDSF. That is absolutely the best way that I could advise that, utilizing an anime example, okay? No, Vegeta is not an ISTP. Death Knight Dan, no. No, he is not an ISTP. He is an INTP, okay? He is an INTP. No. No, 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 no. Akira Toriyama, for example, he is Body Temple, okay? He is a Body Temple Crusader, okay? He's literally writing his own personality into Goku and Vegeta, okay? So that's literally what's happening there, okay? And he and Vegeta is UDUF and a beloved character, and he becomes UDSF. I mean, he's UDF, obviously. He's lost his whole family. He's lost his planet. He's lost his world. He's lost the reason behind him being royalty, because he's a prince, and he was never able to become king, and it absolutely turned into a horrible situation. And here is this commoner child who is definitely a member of his kingdom better than him, and he's an ESFJ. ESFJ men will sharpen the INTP UDUF man rapidly, such that the UDUF INTP will become UDSF and get into UDSF. That's literally how it works, okay? So that's how it works, folks. You can see the first moment that Vegeta actually starts to become UDSF is when he's it's Majin Vegeta towards the end of Dragon Ball Z, and he sacrifices his life to save other people, essentially. Of course, he's resurrected later, but the point is that is the moment that he starts the process of becoming UDSF. And it was literally as a result, a direct result of Goku's influence on his life. That, and I know I'm using a fictional example here, but it's the absolute best example in pop culture from an INTP going UDUF all the way to a UDSF. Because Vegeta realized it had nothing to do with his personal performance. He's always trying to get into performance. He's always trying to outperform Goku. As soon as he realized he couldn't outperform Goku, and he became apathetic. This is when INTP apathy is a good thing. When the INTP UDUF becomes apathetic to performing, and instead starts investing more in doing his duty, and he did his duty by sacrificing his life and creating a huge Nova explosion in an attempt to save the people that he cared about, because Goku would have done the same. And following Goku's example, he was able to actually start getting into his introverted sensing child. When you're UDUF, your child function is the first thing that is sacrificed to your demon function, and that begins the process of a person being UDUF. Vegeta was able to reverse that process literally because of the example Goku provided Vegeta within that situation. Okay? And that's literally why we see Vegeta in Dragon Ball Super consistently in UDSF the entire time. There's actually a Vegeta motivational video on YouTube that you can watch of all of his different sayings. And you can actually see his sayings over time, you know, talking about Saiyan pride, right? Taking pride, you know, at first it's about performance, but then it becomes about duty, because these are the lessons that he is teaching his son, lessons that Vegeta learned from Goku. And he's teaching his son Trunks this, because he's like, why aren't you training? What about the threat that's coming next year or 5 years from now or 10 years from now? You always have to be prepared. Always be prepared. Preparation is introverted sensing masculine, okay? It is introverted sensing. Do your duty, okay? And he had to come to terms with the truth of the duty. So his TI function had to become his masculine primary function instead of his introverted feeling function, which was his masculine primary function when he was unconscious, developed, unconscious, focused. Okay, and that's literally the lessons that he learned as a result of Goku sharpening him, and then he conferred those lessons directly to his son Trunks. Just look up this YouTube video about this motivational Vegeta video about, you know, the speeches that he would give, and you can literally see how he's changing from UDUF to UDSF. Funnily enough, I was literally having a conversation with another UDUF INTP earlier today, literally about this phenomenon. So it's kind of interesting how that happens to be the final question for this Q&A session. So, all right, folks, that is it for the Acolyte question and answer stream for March 2024. If you found this Q&A session useful, helpful, educational, enlightening, please like and subscribe, folks. Do it. So, anyway, folks, thank you all for watching and listening. See you guys on the next episode.